Awesome. It's good to see you guys today. My name's Pastor Mike. Our senior pastors are away on vacation in California. So I got to spend 2 weeks with you. They're normally gone for less than that amount of time, but they decided to drive across country. And how many people know when you drive to California, a lot of your time is on the road? They're pacing themselves. They're visiting their son and daughter-in-law out in California. So pray for them as you remember them. Pray for traveling mercies. Amen. It is good to see you guys today. Wow, this is a good first service. A lot of people here. Amen. How many people are hungry for God? How many people know that God will not fail us? Amen. When we first started learning that song, just by my confession, I'm a music first person. I hear the music and then the lyrics kind of come in second. And my daughter, Alex, who is up here singing, she's driving me home. And I'm like, he will. And she's like, you're saying he will fail you. What are you singing? It's he won't. I'm not used to saying God won't, right? God, because God can do all things. So I'm like, he will. And he's like, listen to the words. But I love the words in that. He will not fail you, amen? He won't. Jesus' name. Whew. So let's pray. Let's get into this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that is here. Spirit of God, we thank you that you're the teacher. We just go ahead and submit ourselves to you right now. We thank you, Father God, that today you open our eyes. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, how many people were not here last week by a show of hands? Just not here. Okay. So last week we started a series, a two-part series on heaven. And I'm not really gonna back up and talk about what we started last week. I'll just give a brief overview. But if you are interested in it, you can go on our Facebook, I believe, and we should have our live stream on there recorded, and then you can check it there. So heaven is a subject, honestly, that's one of my favorite subjects to study, and over the years I've studied it a lot, okay? Because, and you may know this if you're a Christian, that you have this yearning in your spirit for home, okay? And you have this understanding that this is not your home, that you're just traveling through, that you're a pilgrim, and that your eternal destination is in heaven. So there's something in you that just draws you to heaven. There's something in you that just has this hunger for it. And I have that hunger, and it's just like, so I want to learn about heaven. I want to know about heaven. And, you know, I've studied a lot over the years, and I'm sure in churches we just don't preach it enough. We don't preach and teach and talk about heaven, where God lives, God's home, where your eternal home will be. And I believe that, you know, the more we talk about heaven and the more we preach about it, it gives us that eternity mindset. It gives us that mindset that thinks that that this isn't just all we have. And a lot of times we get so stressed and filled with anxiety and depressed because our focus is just here on the earth, where our eternal home is actually in heaven. So when we talk about heaven, it gives us an eternity mindset, okay? Everyone say that, eternity mindset. And I think when we have an eternity mindset, we become better people, okay? So, can I give you a real-life example, you guys? Okay. So, this was just yesterday, right? So, I've been on, like, a strict eating plan, kind of like no sugar, no white bread, no bad stuff, all that type of stuff. So, you know, stick to it during the week. And then I have a cheat day on Saturday. And then on a cheat day, you don't follow any of those rules. And so, on my cheat day, I was hungry. And what I really wanted, you guys, okay, was a D'Angelo steak and cheese sub, number 9, on white bread. White bread. You know, when all the cheese and the mayo and the fat just mixes in it, right? So that's what I wanted, right? And so I was hungry, and so I go to D'Angelo's with my wife, and I said, do you want something? She's like, yeah, I want the same thing. Just let's get two, right? So I go up and I order 2. I need 2, da 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 da, and I pay for them. And and then, you know, we wait. And so I'm a little hangry, you guys, okay? Just a little bit, because I'm just hungry, right? And so I'm just looking forward to this. And then they say, okay, Mike, your order's up, and it's a single sub. And I'm like, I thought I ordered, like, two. And they're like, no, the system says you only ordered one. I'm like, well, look at my receipt. And they're like, no, oh, I'm so sorry. We only rang you up for one. You have to wait for the second one, right? And so I wasn't, like, belligerent or whatever, but I was just, like, silent. And they were like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was just like, I was expressing my displeasure with my lack of words. I was just like, really? No smile. Oh, we're so sorry. We're going to cook you another one, all that stuff. So I had to wait, and there's a long line. And so so then they finally get it, and, you know, waiting all that time. So you get a second one, and they're like, again, we're so sorry. And I was just like, you know, just silent, right? And then we ate, and I got happy again, right? So I started eating, and I was all happy. And I said to my wife, I said, you know what? I could have definitely handled that better. Okay? Let me give you the perspective, okay? Here's the deal. No matter what, I was going to wait for the second one, right? So I could wait there and kind of have my silent displeasure, have that weird kind of vibe coming off me and letting them know I'm not a happy customer, right? Just wait, you guys messed up, I'm not happy. Or I could have given them lots of grace and said, you know what, no problem, that's okay, we make mistakes, this and that, because the bottom line is no matter what, I'm waiting. Am I gonna wait like a jerk, or am I gonna wait like someone who offers grace and peace and life, right? So I'm like, man, I could have handled that a lot better. So I understand this, that when we serve God, all of our works and everything we do is sent ahead of us to heaven. And the only thing that remains, you can't bring treasure, you can't bring clothing, you can't bring lands, nothing goes with you to heaven, but what goes ahead of you are your good works and the things you've done out of love, okay? And to me, that was a missed opportunity to do that. Check out this scripture, you guys. Romans 14 says this, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Here's the reason I brought that up. If we are heavenly minded, we know that there's going to be a day where we stand before God. And what we do and interact with our fellow human beings on the earth, we're not going to be living just in this moment, but we're going to think eternally. How can I go ahead and handle this in an eternal perspective that offers grace and love so that when I stand before my Savior, I'm going to have my good works reviewed, okay? And not just my works burnt up before me. So we're heading to our heavenly our home, and we want to keep our hearts and our minds on things that are above. Amen? Who can agree with that? Last week, when we talked about heaven, I did take a little different approach. I talked about heaven, what it would be like in the first person, going from your last moments on earth, passing through that veil of death, traveling from life to life in Christ, entering heaven for the very first time, seeing your angel, having your family and friends come and greet you. We talked about that, but today I'm going to continue in that first-person point of view. But what I need you to do as we take our journey, our timeline through heaven, I really need you to get the most out of heaven. You really need to hear this with your heart. Heaven isn't about what your head, your heaven is about what we comprehend in our heart, because the ways of God are not our ways. And if we just think of heaven in a heady type of way, we're going to miss what's most important in heaven, what's most magnificent in heaven. I told you last week, I used to say, when I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to ask God is, what was up with mosquitoes and ticks? That was like what I was going to say. And you know what? Guess what's the last thing I'm going to say to God when I stand before Jesus? I am not going to think of those things. We're going to be in the Spirit. We're going to think after the Spirit. So today, I just want you to grasp this with your heart. I need you to open your heart and try to receive the revelation of heaven. The Holy Spirit is already here. The angels of God are already in this room. Amen. The hosts of heaven are already here. So we need to come up higher. God doesn't need to come down low to our points. He said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So let's jump back in. You're in heaven and you're surrounded by your family and friends. It's a welcoming committee that God sent to you to greet you as you travel over to the other side. You're not left alone. You don't arrive alone. God brings the people that you love and you care about all to meet you. And it dawns on you for the first time that you're actually breathing in the air of heaven. And wave after wave hits you as you begin to take in the surroundings that are all around you. And so your first impression of heaven as you're looking around is, like, this is a place. I'm actually in a place. It has hills and mountains and streams and fields. It's actually a real place. It's not like clouds like you see on TV. People will be standing in a giant cloud and they're in heaven and there might be a gate in the cloud. It's like nothing like that. There aren't any clouds. You're not standing in puffy clouds. There's no baby angels flying around you, but it's like real. You're standing on ground and it's like a country or a land or like a planet. You're actually somewhere. And everything about it, everything is just pulsating with the life of God. Everything just is filled with God's life. And an aroma floats through the air. And as you smell that aroma, it's just beautiful and just restores you as you smell it in. And all of your senses are just super sensitized where you are. And you notice there's like no darkness. There's no darkness in heaven. There's not even a shadow. Everything is lit perfectly bright by the light of God. Even if you cup your hands and try to make a shadow, there's light inside there. There's like no shadow at all or darkness. And there's not a sun and there's no heat. It's just the glory of God that illuminates everything perfectly. Revelation 21 says this, "The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated. The Lamb is its light." And so you're in this beautiful meadow area just outside a city, and there's like a path leading to that city. But beyond how like heaven looked and the trees and the fields and how it's a real place, you're taken back by the atmosphere of heaven. That is the most overwhelming aspect of this place beyond anything. There's just a permeating love that just fills heaven. It's everywhere. Every tree and stream and sky and sea all seem to be proclaiming the love of God simultaneously at once. And you feel perfect acceptance. There's no more striving. There's no more effort. Just a perfect love and acceptance. And while you're taking all this in, you experience for a moment this liberty of thought that there's no evil here. None at all. There's no temptation, there's no selfishness, there's no fighting, there's no hate. You came from a lifetime of buffeting from the evil one, living in a fallen world with fallen people. But like a loud noise that's finally stopped in your ears, you realize that this place is only love and purity and holiness and joy and peace. It's a state of being that you've just never experienced before. We're on this earth and we grow so accustomed to evil in our lives. We so grow accustomed to bad news. We grow so accustomed to being buffeted with things that we have to reject and we have to turn away from or language or things like that. And in heaven, there is no presence of evil. There's no place for evil in it. So it's just purity and holiness and goodness. And to feel that liberty to have nothing pressure you or press on you is just a liberating, overwhelming feeling that you feel. The atmosphere of heaven overwhelms you, and you can't help but begin to worship the Lord in thankfulness. And as you take in the love of God, you just, your hands are raised. Thank you, Father, for this place. Thank you that I'm actually here in my heavenly home. And while you're thanking, politely, you're interrupted by your angel. And he informs you that he has been commanded to bring you to see your home. And inside your heart just jumps, my home? I have a home? And he says, yes, Jesus and your loved ones have been preparing a home for you. They're expecting your arrival. John 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you shall be also. The angel is instructed to bring you to the home that Jesus built for you. Amen. A few years ago, my wife had a dream, and she said, I had a dream, and I saw, it was just impressed upon me, I saw our houses in heaven that God built for me. And like, number one, I'm like, houses? Like, what do you mean? Yeah, she's like, I had a house, and you had a house. We had separate houses. I don't know if I was happy about having separate houses, but I'm like, okay, that's cool. Never thought of that angle before. I said, what did your house look like? And so this is her house. Look at hers. Do you have that picture, Ty? Maybe not as ornate, but it looked like this style. It was a light coral pink, no gold or anything like that. But she said it reminded her like a smaller Arabian palace was her house. And I was like, that's cool. What did my house look like? And so she tells me what my house looks like. What are you laughing at? That's beautiful. She said it was a giant, it took up like a whole block, this huge plain building with like lots of little windows in it all over the place. And so recently we were in Fort Worth, Texas at the Believers Convention, and we drove by this, and she said, that's your house. Take a picture of that. That's what your house looks like. Go back. Your house looks like that. And so looking on the bright side, you guys, looking on the bright side, there's a lot of rooms in my house. There's a lot going on. If I decide to invite people over for the night or whatever they have in heaven, I can fit a lot of people in my house, right? So it's for whatever reason, God knows your heart, God knows my heart. That will be perfect for me in eternity. So while you're walking, you're with the angel, you're with your family. While you're walking, the angel's been told to bring you to your home. While you're walking, you notice that the path you're on has become and turned into a street. And the streets are clear and crystal and transparent and gold at the same time. And the street is heading to a city, and you begin to see other houses and neighborhoods in this city situated there. And then they lead you to a house, and the sight of this house takes your breath away. It's so perfectly beautiful. Everything about it speaks to you and captivates you. You just sit there and take in every detail, the roof, the windows, the doors, the grounds. Everything about it is so beautiful and perfect. And your family runs ahead of you to the door, and they're beaming with excitement as you climb the front stairs, and they open the doors and shout, "Welcome to your home." And you're overwhelmed with emotion, and you realize this was built by the Lord and those who know and loved you. It's a labor of love, and it is perfect in every way. Hebrews 11 says this, "These all died in faith, not having received their promises, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things are declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And inside you just start to think about your earth life, all the lack or the hardship and the struggle and the labors you had to endure on this earth to follow Christ all at once seems insignificant and worth every moment when you stand looking at your heavenly reward, when you see that place of rest that's been prepared for you. Hebrews 4, now if Joshua had succeeded in giving them his rest, God would have not spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. Now, while you're at your home and you're taking it in and just overwhelmed with the promises of God, more people start to show up at your house. People are just streaming into your house or toward your house. And you don't know any of these people, but all of these people are just happy. And you find out that these people are living close by in the surrounding neighborhoods. And they all heard that you were arriving, and they wanted to meet you, and they wanted to greet you, and they wanted to welcome you into your home. They wanted to see your reaction as you saw the reward that Jesus built for you. And you begin to experience that there's such a love between you and these residents of heaven. And it's not an earthly love. There's no selfishness in it. There's no possessiveness in it. It's like the love you have for a spouse, but it's innocent and it's pure. And you find your bond of love for each other is instantaneous and it's deep. And you begin to understand this scripture clearly, Matthew 22. For in the resurrection, they will neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. Now, on the earth, you marry, you create a covenant with a person, and you produce children, and you remain faithful to that spouse as you raise your children under God's command. But in heaven, there's no need of producing children. There's no need of marriage covenants. You're like the angels. And so there's just this strong, deep love between everyone. There's no physicalness, there's no sexuality, just pure, innocent, deep love for everyone. And on some of your neighbors who are there, you notice that some of your neighbors have these markings and scars on their body. And they also have this really thin, some of them with these markings and scars on them have this really thin, delicate, beautiful crown on their heads. Not huge, just a thin, beautiful one on their heads. And one man in this crowd of your neighbors is named Thomas. And he has a scar that circles his entire neck all the way around. And you learn from these people, you learn that these people come from a street of the martyrs for Jesus. And they lost their life for following Jesus. Revelation 2, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 6, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and the brethren who would be killed as they were completed. As you behold their scars on their bodies, they don't look disfiguring and they don't look unattractive, but they have the opposite effect. They look beautiful. They represent their faithfulness and their commitment to the only one who is worthy of our lives. You realize that these markings represent their suffering and their sacrifice and what they were willing to give to their Savior. And in eternities, these marks of suffering are like a certain place of honor that God gave them. And there's a beauty in it because we're no longer on earth. This is heaven. And like I said before, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. On this earth, we grab for rewards that are temporal, and Jesus wants us to grab for rewards that are eternal. We build our kingdoms here that will not go with us before, when Jesus says that we're to lay up our good works in heaven, that our heart is not supposed to be on mammon and stuff, but our heart is supposed to be on him. For where your heart is, so your treasure will be. Amen? And we'll realize in heaven the reward system is based so much more on our heart and our treasure after Jesus than the things that we did here. The other things don't mean anything when we stand in our eternal reward. Just then, the air around you feels charged with life. It's just an electricity in the air, and your hair just seems to be standing on end. And you look to your family's faces and see them respond with expressions of joy. And you know that standing behind you right now is the one. And you turn around and you see face to face for the first time your Lord and Savior, the first begotten of the dead, Jesus the Christ. And your eyes connect with his, and you're drawn into them like deep wells of love. And you're just overcome, and you collapse at his feet. And you begin saying things like, "Oh, Lord, I'm not worthy of all this. I don't deserve all this goodness. I would be happy just to be in a small closet in a small shack just to be here with you." And tenderly, Jesus leans down and takes you by the hand and raises you up. And you notice a hint of fire in his eyes. And he says to you, "I have cleansed you and transformed you into my image, and I have made you worthy. You stand perfect and complete in my inheritance. And we don't have shacks in heaven." Revelation 14, "In the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. And his hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire." And overwhelmed with what Jesus just said to you, his acceptance, his worthiness, how you're worthy, and as you just bury your face into his chest and you just embrace him with all of your strength. And after what seems a very long time, Jesus pulls you back and asks with joy in his face, "Do you like your home? I created it for you. And your family and friends insisted on being part of helping me." And again, too overwhelmed to speak, you just laugh and you nod your head vigorously. You don't know what else to do. And Jesus speaks to your angel and says, "Bring them by the river of life. It will do them good. It will wash the remains of earth life off of them. Their thoughts, their mindsets are all just incompatible, and the river of life will wash that from them." How many people want to go to heaven? I don't know about you. My hunger grows every day. But listen, I am not looking to check out of earth. We have a race to run. We have a work to do. We have people to touch. We have people to reach. We're put here for a person, or for a reason, or God would have taken us out. You would have been born again and you would go. But we still want to go. We might not be in a hurry, but we want to go. Amen? A lot of people are like, oh, Jesus, take me, please. Please come back. That means they're just going through trials, and they've lost focus on what they're here for. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light that is set on a hill, and we're to shine a light, and we're to be that salt. Amen? We're to be that salt. My wife and I were in a doctor's appointment, and it was a doctor's appointment for me, and it was like a checkup. And we usually do this like 1-2 punch type of thing. I kind of break the ice and get the person talking, and then she might ask a spiritual question. And in that interaction, things just turn naturally spiritual, right? And so if they're with it, they kind of go with that conversation. And we felt that this conversation was really good, and it kept on coming back to spiritual stuff. And so we ended the conversation saying, can we pray for you? Because they might have had a physical thing or something. And so we prayed for them. I said, come on, we're going to lay our hands on you. The Spirit of God might be, you know, around you, and we want to, you know, like the Bible says, lay our hands. So we lay hands on this person in the doctor's office. We're taking tons of time, and there's patients, but they don't even care. They're just going with it, so we're going with it. Good, we'll stay triple time. Who cares, right? And so we lay hands on them, and then after that, my wife says, do you want to receive Jesus too, like we said? Do you want to go ahead and pray that prayer with us? And she said, yeah, I do. So we go ahead and we pray that prayer, and she repeats that prayer. And she just begins to laugh and says, I just feel so light and good. And we're like, yes, because the God who is on the outside of you has now moved to the inside of you. And eternal life is now on the inside of you, and you feel that. Amen? You feel that. I said that to say this. We still have work to do, guys. Heaven would be a very sad place, if heaven can be sad, if we know there was a potential for all the ones we cared and loved about to be there with us, but then they didn't make it. They didn't make heaven. That would be such a sad thing. And I heard this quote before. I like it. I like this quote. If you don't want God, then you don't want God's heaven. You can't reject God and his gift of Jesus Christ and gain his heaven. They are intrinsically tied together. They are one. God and his eternal home are one. If you reject God, you reject his reward as well. Amen? So we must surrender. We must give our life to him. We must receive Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. When I was 16 years old, I really heard the gospel for the first time. I grew up in religion, but no Bible, really. And so I started to hear the gospel, and I realized my revelation was this. I'm a sinner. Like, I've sinned, and I'm going to have to stand before God as a sinner. And if I'm found guilty, then I won't be able to come to this place of holiness and purity. Uh-oh, I need help. What do I do? God already knew this, and he sent our help. It was Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, the sin of the world was put on him. Jesus died, took our punishment, and rose again and said, all who call on my name shall be saved. We need to know you need a Savior. You don't need a life change. You don't need a life coach. You don't need to have an alteration of your mind. You need a spiritual rebirth. And when I was 18 years old, I made that commitment. I said, okay, Jesus, no more messing around, no nothing. I give you my life. Jesus, I need a Savior. Come and save me. And I prayed and I invited him in. And I was born again. The Bible says born again, made new. If you have not done that, you may be in a church, but it doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is not where you are physically located. It is what's happened in your heart with Jesus Christ. Amen? He loves you. He cares about you. No one should hold out on Jesus. No one should hold out on Jesus. No one. Because when you do, you're in the devil's power and you're in his thing. Accidents can happen. You could leave this earth so quick. Humans are weird. We think we're invincible. We totally think we're invincible, right? We're strong. We can handle anything. And then one day, by accident, you mix ammonia and bleach and breathe in a little bit and you're dead. You are so fragile. Your mindset doesn't tell you you are, but there's so many ways a person can slip out of this life quickly. We don't have a shield of armor on us. We're kind of squishy and we break easy. I looked up once on the CDC website. They have a major cause of death of people year after year, and falling was one of the major causes of death. Falling. They fall off a ladder. They fall down the stairs. They just falling kills a lot of people. Listen, we're this close away from eternity. We need to be wise enough to make up our decision about eternity today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jesus, come, make your abode in me. Come, make your life in me. Save me. I need a Savior. What I want to do now, I'm going to have we're going to do some stuff after this, and then I want to pray for you guys. But let's do this. If you've never received Jesus before, even if you're new to the church, been here for the first time, you don't know Jesus, I want to give that invitation today. I want to pray that prayer. I remember my biggest hang-up was I didn't know how to pray that prayer. Like, I wanted Jesus, but I didn't know what to pray. And so what I want to do is I want to lead you on a prayer to receive Jesus. And what I want you to do is just respond to that. I want you to pray that with me, but you need to do a few things. Forget about who you came from with. Forget about your person on the left or right. We need to just make a prayer connection with God from your heart. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. And what does this mean? Jesus is Lord. It literally means that you're surrendering your lordship over your life and letting him be the one who calls the shots. Jesus, you are Lord, not me. Making him the Lord of your life. Amen? So let's do that. If you've never done that before, I'm going to invite everyone also to pray with me. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. I just want to bind the devil real quick from trying to take over people's minds or capturing or stealing this moment from them. Satan, we bind you, you spirit of unbelief, you spirit of fear, spirit of anxiety, go now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, replace that with your love, your care. Father, we know that nothing is by accident for such a time as this. God, you've drawn us to this moment. So pray this with me. Say this. Dear God, come on, everyone. Dear God, I am not a perfect person. I've blown it. I've missed it. And I have sinned. And I need forgiveness. Jesus, right now, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again. Jesus, right now, thank you for saving me. I call you my Lord. I will serve you the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Ooh, tell you what's going on in heaven right now. Listen, there's a party going on in heaven right now because the Bible says that when one person turns from their sin and receives the Lord, that all the angels of God begin to rejoice. Rejoice. Amen. If you've done that for the first time, God is rejoicing. We do have a gift for you at our information area. Our experience team has a bag. There's a little Bible in it, some follow-up material. If you have done that for the first time, please grab your first gift. Let someone know about that. Amen. Let me explain how clean you are if you did do that. If you died right now, okay, so a bomb hits the bomb hits us, right, and we all die. And you're standing before God. If they played on your giant screen your life of all your woes and wickedness and sin, it would be a blank screen because the Bible says the blood of Jesus washes you clean of everything that you've done. Amen. That's how you want to approach judgment day, with your sins forgiven. Amen. Let me say this too because people are confused. There are two judgments, guys. There's ones for those who do not know Jesus and died in their sins, and they will have to answer for all of their sin, and they will be rejected from heaven, which is a sad and terrible day. And then there'll be those for the saints. God gave you gifts. He gave you callings. He gave you purpose. And just like a steward, you're going to have to report to him, how did you do with the gifts he gave you? Were you faithful? Were your works, will they be burnt up like hay and stubble, or will they remain like gold and silver? Amen. So we're going to give an accounting for the call God put on our lives. Not a heaven and hell thing, but an accounting like a servant. Amen. Much different. That's a judgment we're going to be in. They're not going to play a big screen of all your secret wickedness in your heart. Amen. That's for a different judgment. That's for a different one. So guys, listen, I'm sad. I'm sad we didn't get to go to the river of life. It's awesome in the river of life. The tree of life is there. The leaves of healing of the nations are there. We didn't get to go there. We didn't get to go to the throne of God. Ah, everything in heaven just centers on the throne of God. Everything like gravity is pulled towards the presence of God where he sits. Amen. We didn't get to travel and go there. We didn't get to look at the angels, the other creatures, the beauty of heaven. There's so much we didn't see. But what we saw was enough to bring our hunger. Amen. Let me just pray for you guys. We're going to go ahead and receive our regular tithes and offerings at this time. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you have put eternity in our hearts, that eternity is only filled with you, Father. And God, while we're here on this earth, God, let us, help us to keep a heavenly mindset. Let us not be stuck in the temporal realm of this earth, but let us think with a heavenly mindset that makes choices that are heavenly minded, not like this earth, not like the wickedness of this earth, but like you. And Father, we'll find that our days will be easy on this earth as we think about eternity and we think about you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.